This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy Saturday morning. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop on The Fan, coming to you live this Saturday. What's up, Jay?
What's up, Joe Pa Flamac?
Vic just told me this is week number 9 or 10 for us on the Saturday morning 9 a.m. shift.
10 straight. Well, not 10 straight for me. I had a couple off. But yeah, 10 straight since this all started.
And I think it's going to keep going. One of my buddies sent me a text this morning and was like, I hope you guys don't have to do the Saturday mornings much longer. I was like, I think it's going to go probably until September. That's my guess.
Probably going to go through the summer. But I do, and I'm going to talk to our agent. I think the company needs to hook us a little bit, either give us another week's vacation. I mean, I haven't even heard a thank you from them yet. Have you got a thank you? Because I haven't got a thank you.
No, and I'm not holding my breath for that.
Right. Well, I'm not either, but I think that they've got to reach out when this is all over and make it right, because you do 20 straight weeks of weekend shows without getting paid. I mean, we're helping the company out big time.
Well, I know that you did checking in with Grant and Danny on Thursday. I did it yesterday. And
oh, yeah.
One of the
fun
things I mentioned was that we do the Saturday show, and that about on Tuesday, maybe it's Wednesday, you start texting me or telling me, who are we going to have for guests on the show? And this week, we actually have some great guests lined up. Should mention, right here at the top, we're going to talk to our man Chris Russell at 9:20. We will get into some Redskins news. Jack Del Rio spoke to the media this week. He's all fired up to coach Chase Young, comparing him to Julius Peppers.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, we had that ranking that we went through that was put out earlier this week, where Dwayne Haskins was ranked the 39th best quarterback in the NFL by Chris Sims. So we can get into a couple things with Russell at 9:20.
Mm-hmm.
At 10 o'clock, Jamian Christian's going to join us. He is the head basketball coach at GW. We'll kind of talk to him about where college sports stands right now. He had his first season come to an abrupt ending at GW. He was taking over there and transforming the program, and season number one kaput, and who knows what's going on with season number two.
I mean, they did struggle, but they started to play better towards the end of the year. I mean, they finished 9-24, but they started to play a little bit better in the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 games when they got completely healthy. So
yeah, and you know, when you take over a program, it takes
to
turn it around.
Of course.
I'm certain he's going to be successful at GW. Also, Boog Shambi's going to join us. We talked to him, I want to say, maybe the first or second show.
It was the first week.
That we did on the weekends, basically right when they pulled the plug on everything and shut down spring training. So he's going to join us at 10:40. And then we got the locker. Craig Lachlan will join us at 11:20. We'll talk to him about where the NHL stands.
Correct. So I think we're also going to replay the Harold Reynolds interview from the week, from the Junkies in the morning. I thought it was great. I thought Harold Reynolds was awesome. He was very forthcoming and honest about his feelings and opinions on the negotiations between the players and the owners, and whether or not he thinks they're actually going to get this season underway. So I think we should run that. If you missed it, it was a really good interview from, I think, Wednesday.
Yeah, I actually missed a couple minutes because Isabella came downstairs and was throwing a huge fit at the point at that time.
That's a daily thing now.
the hard part with the three-year-old, see, your two older kids are sleeping right now, I'm assuming.
Well, one went on a hike. The other one is sleeping, and one went on a hike, yeah.
Right.
But usually they would be.
But they're independent to an extent. Yeah. With a toddler, It's very tough to contain. So my wife has had to contain that during the shows.
I remember.
Don't have a door to the basement. So she can just go down. And we still have the child gates up, but she just climbs over those.
They're meaningless. She just laughs at that.
Yeah.
You know, so she probably can start the car by now.
So, I mean, I think I remember I asked a question about Harold Reynolds played 1 year with the Orioles. And that season, they didn't make the playoffs, but Chris Hoyles was a monster that year. And I asked him that question, then all of a sudden it was chaos and never heard his answer.
Yeah. No, he talked about Hoyles. He definitely did. He talked about the old days. He talked about living in Baltimore. He loved it. He was only here for a year, but he definitely opened up about that. So, yeah, that'll be cool. We'll do that about 11:40.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, speaking of families, I know that your oldest daughter, Kelsey, had a bacterial virus that she came down with. I don't know. Was that early part of the week? Midweek?
Yeah, I mean, it's very weird because...
And you thought it might be corona, but she tested negative for corona.
She was negative for that. I never really thought it was that.
Mm-hmm.
But she has this infection, and then she has an inflamed appendix.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is I can't visit her. So we dropped off a care package yesterday just because she said she's bored and lonely. She's just in the bed. She has a fever of like 103 degrees.
Still?
And they give her Tylenol, and then it comes down, but then it comes back up.
Okay.
But she has some abdomen issues, for lack of a better description.
Is that something from, I mean, could it be like a food poisoning thing?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but the doctors say that she had a foot problem, like an infection with her feet, maybe a month or two ago, and she took some antibiotics for that, and that this is often a reaction to that antibiotic round.
Wow.
Something called C. diff.
So you've spoken to the doctor?
My ex did. So,
okay.
And,
all right, her
and
mom.
I got some reports that way, and then Kelsey has been filling me in on what she has been told. So it's a weird situation. She's 19.
Right.
So,
well, it's also weird because of the corona, I assume, they won't allow you into the hospital to see her, correct?
Yeah, I got to go in the lobby and drop off a bag. That's
right.
So there's no visitors, and I think things are turning in the right direction, but she could potentially have an appendix surgery if the appendix doesn't calm down. So that's what they're working on. I haven't heard from her this morning. I tried to reach out, but she did not answer. As of like 10 o'clock last night, she said, "I'm feeling a little better, starting to get really hungry. They just gave me my first meal, ice." And then there's some emoji that I can't quite interpret. I think it's some sort of like a cat crying, because I guess she's getting very hungry. But
how long has she been in the hospital now? When did this happen? Tuesday?
Two nights,
all right. So, okay, so this happened Thursday. Or Wednesday, maybe.
So hopefully things will turn around.
Well,
so, yeah,
it's scary, good news.
And it's a powerless situation because all I could potentially do is go to the lobby.
Yeah, that's weird that they won't, you know, they put a mask on and roll you up there for 20 minutes just to see her. I mean, I don't get that.
No, they have like a nurse will come down to pick up your package, and you can't even... Because she's not supposed to be eating, they're trying to calm down whatever's going on. Kelsey was like, "You can't give me food." But she actually wanted, like, you know, book or magazine or anything just to pass the time because she says the TV's awful.
Oh,
like,
of course,
well, can't you do Netflix on your phone? She's like, "Yeah, but you get tired of that."
Well, hopefully you'll hear from her. She's probably sleeping, but hopefully you'll hear from her in the next hour or so, and she's feeling even better than she was yesterday. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully she just doesn't have to have surgery, but she could be there.
Right.
Someone else said she could be there for like a week.
Well,
I got to figure out what our family deductible is. It's going to be
true.
A show.
Our insurance isn't the best.
No, it's not.
It's really not. So do you want to say what hospital she's in?
Oh, she got transferred to Shady Grove. So originally she couldn't get to Shady Grove. So it's like a mile away. That's where Isabella was born. It's where Dylan was born. It's basically, actually, when I go for runs, I run by it often. It's about a mile and a half away.
Well, that's good.
So, I mean, it's close, but, I mean, I can't go inside. And it's weird when you see, like, usually when you go to a hospital, you'll see some activity once you walk inside.
Yeah.
And I walked in. It was a ghost town. There was one lady there at the front desk, And I kind of knew the deal because Kelsey told me that I couldn't get in and just gave her the package. And she said, you can either wait for the nurse to come down or I'll give it to her. And I said, you know what? You can give it to her.
Well, again, crossing our fingers, hoping she's feeling better today. And then you can see her and then she's home, doesn't have to do the surgery. That would suck. But just keep us updated.
Yeah, but I mean, outside of that, didn't do much last night. What'd you do? I mean, I watched the protests. I mean, what's going on right now is just, it's unbelievable. Like how many cities, including D.C., had the protests, which in many places turned into riots, which is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this country is in a bad spot right now. And, you know, this doesn't help on top of the corona, but I was just thinking about it. Can you imagine if there was no cell phone footage of what happened with George Floyd?
Well, I think that's happened. It's happened a lot of times.
Of course, right. But for this particular crime, I mean, if you can just imagine, I mean, the cops would have just said he died of a heart attack or something. They would have just lied about it, right? And those guys would still be working. They'd still be getting paid. Now, good news is they brought charges, right? And that's something we thought about. It was a possibility anyway, midweek. But and we'll see what happens with the other three guys. But the footage is just huge, you know. And apparently this guy's had a past. You know, he's had 18 different complaints. So I don't understand the rioting now because they charged him. All right, maybe they're pissed off because the other three haven't been charged, but they charged the guy.
Look, I think it's a pent-up anger, and it's not just about this case. Just in the last month, you've had several racial incidents, whether it's the Ahmaud Arbery case, which is terrible, where a jogger gets hunted down.
Right. But again, there was charges there.
Okay.
So it's not like the country's not doing anything about it.
Yeah, but you're still losing lives.
And I get it. That's what happens. It happens in every country. People get murdered. You don't have to tear down cities and burn cities.
Oh, I'm not saying that that's logical. It makes no sense. But you're saying...
It's just as criminal. How about it's just as criminal as what the cop did?
Understood, but you're saying, why is it happening? I'm saying that there's a huge pent-up anger that these situations continue to happen over and over and over again.
They do, and it's terrible. But I do believe that people, and I'm not saying all, excuse me, some people take advantage of this. They do. There are some people who don't give a rat's ass about what happened to George Floyd. They just know they can run into a Target and get a 60-inch flat screen.
Correct.
And what sucks.
I'm on one of the websites that we all check out, LarryBrownSports.com, and I see the College Football Hall of Fame destroyed, vandalized by looters.
I know, I saw that too.
What's the connection there to George Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery or any of these incidents or even, you know, the lady who called the cops in Central Park? It's just, look, unfortunately, there's still a lot of racism out there. It's way better than when we were kids, but it still exists.
Still exists and always will. It just makes me angry that people, it's one thing to protest in front of, you know, the state house or the mayor's office, but, you know, to burn your city down, I mean, that's just stupid. And I, you know, you heard about what Trump tweeted yesterday, right?
Looting the shooters.
Yeah. I mean, it's, oh man, it's just, this country is in a interesting spot right now.
No question about it. It's heavy, but that's why we want to be a diversion. So let's get off that.
We've hit two
serious topics.
Right, but hold on. I wanted to ask you this.
Justice.
I wanted to actually maybe get the callers, if there's anybody listening today, but I want to get them involved maybe later in the show because last night I'm watching the news, the 11 o'clock news, and they were showing, they were doing live shots down in Alexandria because all of the restaurants had opened for outdoor seating.
Right.
And the reporter was just kind of walking down King Street, I believe, and the place was packed. I mean, it really looked fun. I mean, I actually told my wife, like, maybe we should do that tonight. Not go down to Alexandria, but just go out somewhere locally, either in Ashburn or Leesburg, and just sit outside and have dinner and have a cocktail. So I wanted to see if the listeners actually went out last night because of the reopening, and specifically in Virginia. I'm not sure what Maryland's doing. Was Maryland open last night as well?
No, I think Monday, June 1st. Well, Maryland might, you know what, you might be right. I know Montgomery County's not really opening up till Monday, 6 a.m., and they'll have some of that outdoor seating. I don't know the exact things which are open and what aren't open. Like my wife was saying that I think you can maybe get a haircut by appointment, but like for women, maybe they can't go to a nail salon yet. This is in Montgomery County. So it may be different in other counties, but I live, you know, in Gaithersburg in Montgomery County. So that's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
So I think that it's very close. So I think it's probably in a few days when everything will be opened up.
Yeah, it just looked cool, and I'm glad they did it. And it looked like all the restaurants were being safe. You know, everyone was spread apart, and all of the employees had masks on. So that's cool. But just to allow people to go out there and just sit on the street and just, you know, have drinks.
All right, so let's do an open line segment a little later in the show, because coming up next, we do have Chris Russell. And we'll talk a little bit about the Redskins and where they stand right now. Jack Del Rio, the new defensive coordinator, he spoke to the media. Some interesting stuff from Jack Del Rio. Also, we can get into Dwayne Haskins. He was throwing the football with Antonio Brown this week and Chad Ochocinco in Florida. So we could talk to Chris Russell about that. Chris Russell, the Rooster, joins me and Jason next here on The Fan as we are live this Saturday morning.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Saturday morning on The Fan with Bish and JP. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our pal, Redskins insider, Chris Russell, the Rooster. What's up, Chris?
Hello, boys. How are you?
What's up, Christopher?
How are you doing?
What's going on?
What brought the exterminator to the Rooster compound? Did you have a mouse? What's going on?
No, it was like a big, I don't even know what kind of, it was almost like a tarantula looking type thing. I mean, it was pretty nasty. So, and some ants and spiders and, just stuff that the summer brings in and all that people leave food behind. It's just the normal routine. So, just getting somebody out here to treat it so that we don't all get eaten alive by some eight-legged creature.
So how big was that spider? Was it really big?
It was pretty big. It was pretty big. I mean, I don't know how to describe it other than maybe it was, if you picture it in this respect, and Jason, you would, be able to put even better context. It was almost like golf ball size in terms of like the circumference between the legs and the body.
Right.
Maybe that's not a fair comparison, but that, it wasn't your typical spider. I can tell you that much.
So it scared you a little bit, didn't it?
I'm not going to lie about that, a little bit, but I was able to deal with it. It's just trying to prevent more crap from happening. So.
See, I don't mind the spiders around the house because they kill all the bad things. They kill the ants. They kill the flies. They kill the mosquitoes. So I don't necessarily hate the spiders. The ants really tilt me. I mean, I can't stand the ants. And the stink bugs, too. Stink bugs are
awful. And to be fair, this isn't just about that. It's also about, like you said, the ants and, stuff that happens, right? I mean, around this time of the year, everybody, I think, gets, a spray inside, outside, whatever, however they do it. It's just all part of the routine service. But, you're trying to keep everybody out of your house so that, so that nobody gets extra, potentially, they don't bring in anything, you don't give them anything, whatever. So, basically it's just like, okay, I put this off as long as I possibly can. It's almost June. The bugs and the mosquitoes are coming out now. The ants, like I said, coming out now. It's time to just do this and just do it as safely as we can.
All right. So you got them there.
All right. So, Russell, we had you on because we wanted to talk some Redskins. And not that anything's happening on the field or not even having OTAs, but both of the coordinators spoke this week. Let's start on the offensive side. What was your takeaway from hearing Scott Turner?
Well, so Scott seems pretty happy so far with what he's getting, not only out of Dwayne Haskins, But, you know, because he didn't, you know, he didn't, like, in the first answer that he gave when he was asked specifically about Dwayne, you know, he did talk to specifically about Dwayne, but if memory serves me correctly, he didn't mention him, like, directly by name, maybe. I believe that was the case. Either way, what he said was, look, we're giving them a lot of information. We're quizzing them. We're testing them at the beginning of every meeting. And he's retaining it, and they're retaining it. And I assume that means Kyle Allen and, of course, Buck Smith as well, whoever's on these calls, right? Maybe even Steven Montez, the undrafted kid. So it seems like what they're trying to do, and this is exactly what they should be doing, in lieu of being on the grass where you can really test it and where you can go through it, they have to do extra academic work, extra mental testing, all of that stuff, because that's the only way you can find out whether these guys know it. And this has been my big thing all along. Not that, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about Dwayne Haskins that he's not smart. That's never been a worry from anybody that I've talked to legitimately. It's how hard he worked, how mature he was. We've talked about this together, guys. You guys have talked about this. That's been the issue. So this doesn't surprise me that, oh, he's getting it and he's doing well in these little mental tests that Scott Turner and Ken Zampezi, the quarterback's coach, are giving these guys at the beginning of these training, of these video training sessions. It's how then do you translate all of that along with everything you need to do mechanically and footwork-wise and all that stuff onto the grass when you get on the grass. And that's a huge step. It's not just a natural snap of the finger thing. It's a huge step.
Right. So he was down in Florida working out with the receivers, yep. Right? I know he's been working out with McLaurin. I guess he's been working out with Antonio Brown. I guess Ocho Cinco was involved. Did he fly down there? Did he drive down there?
I don't know, because he had his what does he have? A Bentley or a Mercedes? One of those fancy schmancy cars that never have. Yeah. So he had one of those at least on Wednesday, based on people on the ground and what was reported. So maybe he just had it shipped. I don't know. Who knows? You know, I mean, these guys have plenty of money. They can do whatever the hell they want. But the bottom line is, you know, if he can't be at the facility, I certainly don't blame him for getting creative and finding NFL people to work with. The only thing that I would take from this and worry about is Ocho Cinco, is Antonio Brown a negative influence in some way, shape, or form? Do they tell him something that maybe Ron Rivera and Scott Turner and Zampezi want nothing to do with in terms of the way he should do something, whether it be mechanically, whether it be the way he carries himself, whether it be the way to challenge a coach when a coach calls you out in a meeting, whatever that might be? Those three guys, Diggs, Antonio Brown, and Ocho Cinco, are known, whether it's right or wrong, they are known to be problems and pain in the asses, right? So that's the thing that you worry about there. And we know he's been close with Diggs. He tried to recruit Diggs to come here to Washington, and instead Minnesota got so tired of him, they traded him to Buffalo. So now the question is, the Redskins struck out on Amari Cooper. They obviously didn't get Diggs, not even sure if they were really trying that hard. They still clearly are looking for a veteran receiver. Well, Antonio Brown happens to be available. That's a question that if you're not asking or wondering about, you're missing out. You're missing the boat. I don't think it will happen, but I can't rule it out.
Talking to Redskins insider Chris Russell here on The Fan with JP and Bish. All right, when will they actually have access to the team facility? Do you know? Is that looming?
Well, so the team facilities are now able to be opened legally in terms of the NFL as long as it's within the jurisdiction. So my understanding, I could be wrong, is Virginia, Northern Virginia specifically, has not opened or lifted that restriction just yet. And even then, the NFL and the NFLPA has to go into the next phase where they actually allow coaches and actually allow non-injured players back into the facility. Until they lift that restriction, even if the building becomes open, we're talking about the building being open for, I don't know, Miss BJ. You know, we're talking about the building being open for marketing and maybe the training staff to set things up. Maybe, you know, maybe some extra personnel, some scouts. But coaches and players are not allowed in the building unless players are injured and have been receiving medical treatment. So those are only the only people in the allowed in the building and have been allowed in the building all along. Now the next phase is, again, working in conjunction with Northern Virginia, Loudoun County, and the Commonwealth to get the building cleared for everyone, and then B, working with the NFL to institute the next phase of allowing coaches and players in. I think I mentioned this to you guys a couple of weeks ago. The NFL was very leery, and as well they should be, of extra competitive advantages, not only through the draft, but also in this phase where, you know, things can happen inside your building that aren't on videotape that you can't allow one or five or 10 teams to have and 20 or 25 other teams not to have.
All right, so what about Del Rio's comments? You know, a lot of the Skins fans that we talked to during the week are really excited for the defense, all right? Obviously, yeah, because of Chase Young, but number two, because of Del Rio and his reputation.
Mm-hmm. They should be. Yeah, they should be. I mean, this is a – look, I think Greg Minuski got a heart – look, Greg Minuski wasn't a great defensive coordinator. Nobody's going to suggest – I think he was criticized way too harshly, in my opinion. I think a lot of the failures came down to the players specifically on the back end. When you talk, you know, Josh Norman and the communication issues, you know, there was a lot of internal strife over the last couple of years. A lot people knew about, some didn't. You know, as coaches, you know, you can only pre-program the robots so often and so much. Eventually players have to get it done. There's a laundry list of problems there. But in terms of Del Rio, what I love about this guy is, you know, first of all, he's confident and he's got a boldness and a swagger. I think that's going to jive with a lot of the 23, 24, 25 year old type players. Then on top of that, you combine his defensive mind with Ron Rivera's defensive mind. And, oh, by the way, the fact that this league defense is loaded in the front seven. And while it's not as loaded on the back four or back five if you're a nickel, it's not horrible. It's adequate, I guess, is what I would call it. But that front seven is absolutely loaded. So, you combine all that. Then you take, okay, I love the fact that he said, you know, it's not all about Chase Young. It's not about one player. It's about him fitting into a team and a scheme. And that's going to be important, and that's probably going to drive some Redskins fans crazy when he's not maybe out on the field in every third and eight, third and nine at the beginning of the season, because they have other horses to run to, because they're trying to preserve him, because they're trying to give offenses, different looks. And then real quickly, the last thing that was kind of interesting to me, guys, I don't know about you, I think Ryan Anderson, if they can find the right role and fit for him, and I'm not sure if it's 43N, which is what I think, as opposed to strong side linebacker, which is what some people are kind of speculating and wondering, I think that dude in the final year of his contract could be about ready to really kind of step it up with all this defensive talent around him, all that we just talked about with Rivera and Del Rio. They seem to like him already. He had 4 forced fumbles last year. He had 4 sacks last year. He's a, you know, I think 4 or 5 tackles for loss guy. If he's used less in coverage, I think Ryan Anderson seems to be one of those guys that the Redskins seemingly have been short on, and that is a guy with a sense, a knack for creating kind of turnovers and momentum-changing plays when you need it the most.
And you know, Chris, one of the kind of universal themes hearing from both Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, and Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator, is both of these guys are preaching competition.
Yep, absolutely, JP, no doubt. And that's, you know, that's what Rivera has said since minute one that he walked in. Nobody should feel, and you know, maybe I'm guilty of this too, so I'll admit that, but there is nobody that should feel anyone has a definitive, I guess, role or a definitive, like, okay, I'm definitely the starter. Because, like you say, all right, well, on that defensive line, you think Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne are going to play big roles. Yes, they are. But what about Matt Ioannidis? Is he kicked inside the defensive tackle? Is he at end? He's not really an end in a 4-3. So there's three guys, just those three guys,
for two spots, and those guys might not even be on the field in terms of the two spots all the time. So is there really a defined start? Well, how do you say Matt Ioannidis doesn't deserve to start over Jonathan Allen or Teron Payne? How do you So the point of the matter is, even at the most deepest position, never mind at the weaker positions, there is a lot of depth. There is a lot of bodies. There is a lot of competition. Now, some of the positions, here's what I would worry about. When they preach competition, some of the positions, they just don't have quality enough bodies, right? So is it really a quality competition, or is it just a competition because you don't have a stud? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves specifically about, like, left tackle and maybe one or two other positions.
By the way, I just saw this, Rooster. What do you make of this? I guess Chase Young was doing push-ups at 1:11 in the morning on the street, was tweeting that out.
I didn't see that. Okay. Listen, if Chase Young wants to do that, as long as he's doing it safely, I assume he can do whatever the hell he wants. I don't know if he needs to do that. His frame looks pretty chiseled as it is. But, hey, you know, whatever works for you. So far, I mean, you know, look, we have around the kid personally, in person, obviously. But every indication is that kid, young man, whatever you want to call him, is genuine and real and not just for show. I mean, that may have been a little bit for show to do that. And everybody's going to, you know, kind of do the whole social media thing maybe a little bit more than ideally we would like. Look at me. I mean, I do it. Everyone kind of does it, right? But I would say this. Everything about him seems to be honest and genuine and real, as far as I can tell, without having to, you know, meet him and spend a lot of time in person. And just from people that I've talked to around the league and people that know him a lot better than I, they feel he's not one of these fraudulent, fake-type guys, like it turned out that a lot of people found out about Robert Griffin III and others.
Chris, I want to ask you about the hockey here in a second, but one last Redskins question for you. Is there any hope in your mind for Reuben Foster?
Yeah, I think so, Jason. I mean, what I envision, and I don't know if I'm correct in feeling this way, is because they, again, one of those positions where they have a lot of competition but not necessarily a lot of dominant quality, I don't think they need him right away with the additions of Thomas Davis and Sean Dion Hamilton still here. And others, Cole Holcomb. I don't think they need him right away. So what I think they can allow him to do is come back at his own pace, physically continue to rehab throughout training camp, whenever that is, assuming at the end of July, without him practicing, meaning working at the facility, working on rehab, working on getting his running and his strength and all that stuff back in his knee. Remember, he had no feeling in his toes until late January. So he's got a long road to go. Keep him out of practice. That allows him to be maintained for the season physically unable to perform list, which means if he does that and he goes on that, they can retain his rights, and then he would have to miss, I think it's the first either 6 weeks or six games. I have to check the lingo in the new CBA. 6 games, 6 weeks, whatever it is, come back maybe week 7, week 8, week 9. There's a window of about a 21-day window in that once he starts practicing and once they feel he's okay, and then you get a boost of a guy that you were really counting on, one that used to be a dynamic talent, and assuming he can find that sort of dynamic talent again, he might be a great addition post-trade deadline or around the trade deadline to the Washington Redskins at a position that absolutely they can use more speed, athleticism, and ferociousness.
All right, before we let you go, I want to get your feeling on the NHL's plan to come back. Mm-hmm. All right, it's going to be in a couple of neutral cities. I guess they're calling them hub cities.
Yeah.
I don't know what percentage of the league is still in Europe. They got to get all those guys back. They obviously have to get some practices in. The Caps would be one of those top four seeds based on the format that would just play a little round robin with right. The other three teams and then decide the overall seed and then have the matchup. So, you know, we need to see it. We need to see it soon. I don't know if this is going to happen in July or August, but are you hopeful?
Yeah, I think I am. I mean, and hopefully it's late July more than early August, because if it goes without starting into early August, I just have no idea how you ever get back on track in terms of the normal season next year, which Gary Bettman and the NHL says they want to do. The longer this goes, the worse it is for, again, affecting other seasons. Now, maybe again, you find a way to trim the regular season just one time or whatever to get back on that cycle. But yeah, I am optimistic. I think the NHL has put a lot of time and a lot of work into this. Clearly, they understand that, look, yes, we'd all love to have fans, but if any sport is going to be able to take a chance here as a team sport and get back into America's eyes and America's heart, it is the National Hockey League. Why? Because it's the least popular of the four major team sports, right? So they had to be aggressive. They had to be smart but aggressive in their planning. I think they were. I like the fact that the Capitals are going to have to play this little round robin. I was talking about this on Monday on the station. My fear before they came out with that was that the Capitals were just going to have to play, you know, a bunch of inter-squad scrimmages. They couldn't play preseason games, of course, or regular season games, and that they were going to have to take on a team cold that had just played a best-of-five round. So I like the fact that they have that. It means a little something in terms of home ice, in terms of seeding. I like that. And I think overall, not perfect, but I think overall, this is about as good of a structure as you're going to get. Now, the hub cities, it annoys me a little bit that it's Pittsburgh and Columbus, but what's the big deal, right? If it's Washington, D.C., it's not like Capitals fans were going to be able to benefit anyway. Right. No fans are going to be there, period. So what's the difference? It doesn't matter if it's at, Pittsburgh's home arena and Sidney Crosby and the Penguins are there. Well, what does it matter? It's just it's a sheet of ice. I mean, it's their locker room. Okay, whatever. But there's no fans. It doesn't make it a home ice advantage.
It's going to be weird. And we talked to E.J. Raddick from the NHL Network during the week. I mean, playoff hockey is high energy stuff, yep. Right? I mean, the fans go bonkers on, especially game winning goals, overtime thrillers, whatever. Can you imagine a really tight rivalry? You know, let's say it was Pittsburgh and Washington, and they're playing on a neutral ice, and there's no fans. I mean, how are they going to celebrate? It's going to be so weird to watch these guys celebrate. I wondered how much is going to affect them as players.
It's going to be sterile, especially if, say, it's in Columbus, right, which is one of the potential host hub cities. You know, JT the Vic and I were just talking about this before I came on the air with you guys. You know, think about this. When they go to raise the Stanley Cup, wherever it be, and whoever wins it, how's that going to feel? I mean, it already is not as cool when you win it on the road, but as Vic pointed out, and I was in Vegas a couple of years ago, there were 3,000 Capitals fans there, so at least it felt something. Well, now you're going to be, whether you're at home, whether you're on the road, whatever team, whatever the scenario is, you're raising it in front of no fans, and you're not going to have that emotion and that energy and that passion from fans celebrating. Now, you'll have still the celebration and the emotion and the energy from on the ice and from your teammates, and make no mistake about it. Like anybody that says, oh, this doesn't mean the same. No. If you have to go through, especially if you're one of these qualifying round teams and you have, the 5 through 12 seeds, and you have to go through 5 rounds essentially of the playoffs, to me, that absolutely means just about the same. It's just going to feel differently because of the crowd and, like you said, Jason, because of the lack of energy and passion in the arena. But I'm sure it'll be there on the ice. I mean, I know it will be from a Capitals perspective as long as they're around.
Right. Okay. All right, Chris.
All right, Rooster, take care of those spiders and ants.
Yeah, take care of it, bro.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. Have a good weekend.
Chris Russell, the Rooster, talking about the Redskins. Yeah, a lot of talk that the defense can be better. I looked, by the way, the video of Chase Young doing push-ups is from a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But still, he's on the street just cranking out push-ups at 1:11 in the morning.
Well, the kid who lives next to me, he's not a kid, he's a sophomore at Fairmont State, plays football there. Actually went to Matha for 3 years and then transferred to a public school here in Loudoun County. But he knows Chase Young very well. He works out with him a lot. And every time he works out with him, I ask him, hey, what was the workout like? How long did you go? He goes, dude, Chase Young is just such a beast.
Of course.
I mean, he's just a machine. So
there's just some people who are different. You know, there's just some people that are just born genetically different. Correct. He's one of those guys.
He really is. So Skins fans should be real happy and looking forward to seeing him play.
All right. Did you want to do the open line? Did you go to a restaurant in Virginia game?
We can. I mean,
let's see if we get
sure
a couple of calls.
Listening. Yeah.
Because we've got Jamie on Christian, the head coach of GW Hoops, joining us at 10. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Bouchambi at 10:40. And then we've got Locker at 11:20. And we'll play Harold Reynolds at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. So we don't have many open segments.
All right. Let's do
it. So here's the deal. Jason saw pictures. I've seen some now, too. there's a huge demand for people that have been inside for a couple of months. Maybe they've done curbside, but to actually go to a restaurant and sit, even if it's modified and it's outdoor seating, we want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. What was it like? And what was the scene like wherever you were, whether it was in Alexandria or Ashburn,
right,
wherever? But Virginia's opened up, I guess, for the outdoor seating at least.
Correct. And are you planning on going tonight? If you didn't go out last night, are you going to do it tonight? Because my wife and I are thinking about doing it tonight. We didn't, and we just kind of stayed in last night, but we knew it was going to be jammed because it was the first night of the reopening. But yeah, we might get out there tonight. The weather's going to be money today. It's awesome.
All right. So let's open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. Still can't do it where I am. I think my wife and I are going to do Uncle Julio's curbside and get some chips and queso and some margaritas.
Right.
And bring those back and actually
have.
That'll be our date night.
What about some fajitas?
We might do that.
Okay.
Sometimes I get something different than fajitas there.
Okay. Well, Uncle Julio's is awesome. I love it.
Yep. 800-636-1067. It's Bish and JP coming right back, taking your calls here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's Bish and JP coming to you live this Saturday morning. We're on till noon. Then I believe it is EB and Cakes. They've been rotating after us. We've been doing... Somebody asked, why does Jason always get the morning shift? And I was like, well, I'm actually on the morning shift all the time because...
Right.
3 months ago, they asked what our preference was.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get it out of the way, which is
That's
probably
the
same
yeah.
attitude you have.
Yeah,
right?
I'd rather have the rest of Saturday. I don't have to worry about, you know, having to get back here for a 12 o'clock show if I'm out before that. So I love doing the mornings on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
So we've got Jamion Christian, the head basketball coach at GW, joining us at the top of the hour. Boog Shambi from ESPN, baseball analyst at 10:40, and at 11:20, Craig Lachlan, the locker, will fill us in on his take on what's going on with the NHL, the Washington Capitals, Ovi, and more. And then we're going to play an interview we did with Harold Reynolds on the Junkies. Excellent interview. He's one of the best baseball analysts in the game, and he talks about whether Major League Baseball will come back. I'm telling you, I'm not confident on the baseball front, Jason.
I'm not either.
In fact, if I had to bet,
yeah,
I would bet no season.
Well, that would be sad.
It definitely would be tragic.
Yep.
But things are coming back, and a lot of sports look like they're coming back, and restaurants are coming back, and that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to touch the people. Virginia's opened up. Maryland's opened up, but not here in Montgomery County till Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They have outdoor seating in Virginia. We want to hear from some people who experienced this. Give us a call, 800-636-1067. What was it like? I got to believe I've seen pictures of, like, I just saw a picture. Somebody tweeted us of Secrets in Ocean City.
Right.
And they were doing like a social distancing line. It was
uh-huh.
a huge line.
Oh, I bet.
I saw our boy Brett,
yep.
Sup Dogs, when they opened up day one, he had a huge line. Like, there is a pent-up demand.
Yes.
I think there's a pent-up demand for sports and definitely for restaurants. I miss sitting in restaurants. Now, can't sit in the restaurant, but sitting outside, it's good as
All
long
good,
as the weather's
yeah.
fine.
Absolutely. And it will be tonight. So I think if you go out tonight, I know you said you'll do the curbside, but whenever they do open up there in your neighborhood, you should definitely experience it because it's something different. You just don't want to pick food up and bring it back to the kitchen. I don't want to do that. I want to sit down.
Yeah. Well, I told you, my routine has been often eating in the parking lot of the place.
Right. I know.
Or maybe finding a picnic table if you can nearby. But mm-hmm. this week we went out to Roy Rogers. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. And then we just found a spot in the shade and ate there. And that way, I don't have to bring the mess home. Plus, I'm eating it hot. It's not the same as going inside. And that's just fast food.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm
but
not
still,
talking about fast food places. I'm talking about places where you can sit down, have a server, order
have
some
drinks.
Have
a cocktail. Right.
Correct.
All right, let's go to Greg in Haymarket. Greg, you're on with Jason and JP from the Junkies. What's up?
What up, fellas? Hey, Saturday shift. They suck, but I'm glad you're on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We're here for you, buddy.
So, hey, all right. On the 27th was my 19-year anniversary of my wife.
Okay.
So she is dying to get out. We lean more, and look, I respect this. We lean more towards the sides of we're a little more relaxed about the precautions. I don't mind going out, things like that. We're in Prince William County out in Haymarket. She was like, find a restaurant. So we went to Warrenton for our anniversary. I went to a restaurant called Denim and Pearl. It's great. They had a rooftop and they had out front. I loved it. It was just the feeling. And look, they were missing some things on their menu. It wasn't obviously the way it was. They didn't have everything supplied the way they wanted, I'm sure. But I absolutely loved it. And my wife was just ecstatic to have somebody serve her where there's not a messy kitchen, not a messy house, and we were out away from the kids. It felt like heaven just to get away.
How many people were at the restaurant?
So they did. It was a lot like Old Town. I saw pictures on the news of Old Town. They cut off the street. They had like three or four tables, you know, extra outside that were 6 feet apart. We were on, they had a little patio where we were, and there was, you probably could fit, you know, 25 people up there on a regular day. There was like nine. And it was 6 feet apart. The server, God bless him, the mask was below his nose. I'm not going to debate whether that's effective or not. He brought out our food. I loved it. And it was just the whole atmosphere. It was like 75 degrees. Sun was setting. And we're getting food brought to us. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was great when I was like, can you bring the dessert menu? He's like, well, there's only three things on it because we're missing a little bit right now. So, and it's just like, hey, I'll take it. I'll take it at limited, and I'm very happy. So I would say go and enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I just think people miss it. I know this one. There's nice weather, even though there's not outdoor seating allowed just yet. We have a Paladar right down the street. Mm-hmm. And Paladar actually has an open bar, so you can be inside, but they can open it up so that you can stand outside at that bar. And that's where they're doing all of their carry-out curbside orders for people that aren't in cars. A lot of people just walk up, they place their order or whatever. They stand there at the bar on the outside and pick it up. And when it's nice weather, you could tell there's a lot of action. It's crazy. So the unfortunate thing is, for all of this outdoor seating, is if it rains, you're just not going to have business. And I don't know how all these businesses survive. You know, when we started this 8 or 9 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, when we started doing these shows, we had your boy that owns Circa.
Correct, Matt Carlin.
And just think of the lost business they've had. Maybe they've taken out loans and PPPs or whatever the hell is going on. I don't know all the ins and outs of that. Uh-huh. But even if they're open now, it's 25% capacity, 50% capacity. It's not full capacity. And then if it rains, what good is outdoor seating?
True. And then a lot of those restaurants, specifically down at the Navy Yard, really rely on Nats games, right? And they rely on the Caps. And they rely on full stadiums and people going out and tailgating and all that stuff. So you're right. I mean, but it's a start.
Let's go to line three. Dan is in Reston. Dan, you're on with JP and Bish from the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, my wife and I went out last night to a place in Reston Town Center. There was a good crowd. They had, basically had to get your seat reserved online. And, I mean, there were people sort of standing out front. Some of the restaurants just had, you know, no reservations. You had to walk up and try to get a table if you could.
Where'd you go, by the way? What restaurant?
We went to Mon Ami Gabi.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that place. Yeah, it's a good spot.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so great to be back there, and the waiters seemed real happy and appreciative we were all there. And, you know, they were wearing masks. Tables were all spaced out, so, you know, felt plenty safe.
Let me ask you this. Was there a time limit that they gave you when they sat you down, or did they say just have fun, take your time?
They had the reservations were blocked, like, you know, sort of by the hour, but they didn't give us a cap. It wasn't like, you know, but you got to leave here by 7. Now, we walked around the town center after and went to Jackson's, and we actually reserved a table tomorrow night at Jackson's and town center as well. And they mentioned that, yeah, there's a cap that you can't sit there all night.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to bring in some money, man.
Yeah, that's good.
If you're not at full capacity, you're not bringing in the revenue that you used to bringing in. And by the way, you still got to pay the full rent.
That's true. You're right. Well, I'm glad you got out there, Dan. It sounds like, Town Center's awesome. I love all those spots over there. It sounds like that's somewhere where my wife and I have to go sample.
Let's sneak in one more call. Let's go to line two. Jordan is in D.C. Jordan, you're on with JP and Bish from the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, what's up, boys? How you doing?
What's up, bro? Thanks for calling.
Hey, so I was out in DuPont Circle area last night, man. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A ton of places open, seating out on, like, you know, the sidewalk area and some places in the parking lot. You know, tons of people out walking around. The girls were looking silly. That was fun, man.
I bet they were.
Now, can you go inside any of those spots, or it's simply outdoor?
Yeah, man, if you have to run and, like, use the bathroom or something, but they try to keep everyone outdoors as much as possible.
Right.
Now, how long were you there?
Me and a couple of my boys hung out for, I don't know, an hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
They weren't really trying to cycle people through. They just wanted people to have a good time.
Yeah.
And DuPont's away from, you know, the protesting last night, right?
That's right. We were a little ways away from that. You know, there's some stragglers from it, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
What are you going to do tonight? You going to go back?
Yeah, man. I live right in the neighborhood there, so we're probably going to go, you know, hit another bar or restaurant or something.
Cool. All right, man. Have fun. Thanks for calling.
There you go, Jason. You best follow their lead and go out because you can do that in Ashburn.
100%.
Or if you want to go to Reston.
Hey, if you ever want to come over, you and Jess, come on over. We'll go out in some of my spots.
Yeah, we can do that. We also have a three-year-old and would have to get a babysitter.
You're right. That's on you. That's not on
me. And I got another one in the hospital, so.
That's true. Well, I do have two teenage
Although
daughters.
Apparently it's I'll just trending tell them in you the right direction.
Well. I'll yes. tell them you pay top dollar.
All right, coming up next, Jamie on Kirsten is going to join us. He's the head basketball coach at GW. We'll kind of get the state of college sports. I mean, we've heard over the last couple of months some programs have actually already gone away without the revenue coming in. The revenue generators generally for colleges are football and basketball. But, of course, you didn't have March Madness this year. Didn't have postseason tournaments. So we will kind of find out what's going on there with Jamie on Kirsten next. It's JP and Bish from the Junkies on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.